everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk on our midweek edition, February 27th, quickly closing out the shortened month of February. We hope you check out my website, buckmastershow.com. There you can hear our program anywhere in the world. We've got our worldwide live stream. We also have it at kvoi.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. The live line number, 790-2040. Wow, what a busy news day this is. You've got what's going on over in Vietnam, with President Trump talking with Kim of North Korea. Then in Washington, some have called it like a three-ring circus on Capitol Hill with Michael Cohen's testimony. Then this story about Pakistan and India, the traditional rivals over the disputed province of Kashmir. I mean, this is an area that's been a powder keg going all the way back to the year I was born, 1947, and perhaps even a long ways back. But Pakistan has now said no air flights. All of their airspace is now restricted. And it's the same way, I understand, over northern India. This is causing all sorts of problems for air traffic that is flying. And there's a lot of flights that operate between Asia and Europe. Thai Airlines today canceled 30 of their flights to Europe. So, I mean, there's all sorts of disruptions happening because what it means is that the airliners have to fly a long way around Pakistan or northern India, so no more shortcuts. So a lot going on internationally, and always a lot going on locally. Richard Elias is with us, Democrat from the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He is the chair of the board. Richard, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you. And it's nice to be here in the new studios.
This is your first visit to the studios. It is a step up from our kind of glorified linen closet.
No, it's very nice in here. And gosh, I just can't even imagine all the good shows that are going to come out of this place over the next few years.
Well, I sure hope so. I want to point out that your father was a longtime community leader. He would have been 90 years old today.
Yeah, today was Albert's birthday, or it is Albert's birthday.
Yeah.
And so we all miss him and love him and all of that. But, you know, he was really an honest God Tucsonan who loved the place and loved everybody and respected them no matter what their political persuasion was or what their ethnicity was, because he realized that this is a place that we all share together. And he honored that every day of his life. And
well, he was in the printing business for how many years?
Gosh.
Almost his entire career, right?
His entire career was really spent doing that. But the last 47 years of his career was operating Old Pueblo Printers, his own business.
And he got kind of the printing bug from your grandfather, and I didn't realize this until you shared it with me before the show. Well, first of all, the Elias family goes back to the Spanish Presidio days, but your grandfather actually ran a daily Spanish language newspaper here.
It was my great-grandfather. Yes, they published El Tucsonense for about 60 years.
Wow.
And it is all digitized at the University of Arizona Special Collections. Mm-hmm. Francisco Moreno was really someone who, again, was a true Tucsonan, even though he was an immigrant from Hermosillo. But he believed in this place, and he loved it, and died an untimely death at an early age. But the newspaper that he started was taken over by his wife, my great-grandmother, Rosa Elias Moreno, who became the publisher of the paper and likely the only female publisher of a newspaper anywhere in the United States,
right,
much less a monolingual Spanish newspaper.
Right.
So quite a noble history in printing, but just really thinking about Albert today and how good he was to Tucson, how much he loved our community and how badly we need that now, rather than people who criticize each other unfairly or take political positions to an extreme. Whether you disagree with me or not, think of my dad today and go out and practice an act of kindness, a random act of kindness on somebody, because that's what Albert would have really liked.
You know, yesterday we had a wonderful conversation with Dr. William Hartman, who is just, he's a true Renaissance man, a scientist, but also has written about Coronado and the traffic that used to, really for hundreds of years, this before, even before there was a border with Mexico, that this has always been a borderland that we live in. And so for many people who live here, this whole concept of a crisis on the border is something they just don't understand.
Well, it seems to me that people in the borderlands have a much better concept of how things work and how close we are in terms of business connections, as well as familial connections, to people in Mexico. Certainly the Tohono O'odham people are the most extreme example of that, as well as Pascua Yaqui. But all of us have some kind of business roots or family roots or connections to Mexico. And so this is just a really bad message to send out. And not only that, it seems to be a crisis that's been manufactured to usurp the role of Congress and their lack of will to fund this border wall. And so it doesn't hold true with us, and it shouldn't, because I think we understand things correctly. And it's so sad to see the concertina wire in Nogales. It's so sad to think of walls going up to divide us when we should be more about learning about each other and supporting each other and doing business together. And that's a pathway to success. That's a pathway to having people be able to stay with their families in their country of origin and be happy and live their lives productively. That's the pathway to success, not further separating us or scapegoating people or name-calling people or any of the things that I see happening on a daily basis that seem to scar me as I think about it, because I consider myself a citizen of these borderlands that loves it.
790-2040, perhaps something Supervisor Elias has said that you agree with or don't agree. He's a good sport. He'd love to hear your opinion on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Coming up on Friday, we'll have Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier with us, and the sheriff insists, Supervisor Elias, that there is this crisis on the border, and he would like to see, and I guess it's going to be reintroduced, this whole business about the border grant.
Yes, that's coming back, and Mark has apparently bought into the whole Trumpian line about the crisis and the emergency, and I know that he feels differently than Trump in some ways, but I don't see that coming out in policy, and that's very troubling. And as I said, we really need to foster a community that works together with our friends in Mexico rather than finding ways to further separate us. Stone Garden is an issue of public safety, but on the other hand, I don't think we should be collaborating with federal agencies that are carrying out the policies of someone who seems hell-bent on destroying the nature of our lives here in this area. And that's truly wrong. And I think it puts our sheriffs in jeopardy because people are scared. And the stories that we continue to hear about family separations are shocking and horrible. And I know that this has been a policy that's gone on for long before Donald Trump came along, but it's accelerated dramatically under the president, the current president. And we really need to stand in opposition to that, to say there's a better way to live, there's a better way to deal with these issues. We need our immigrant populations in our community. They add to our success. They add to our vitality. Their children are smart and willing to be some of the best Americans we have in this country. So I don't understand why we need to do this.
All right. And then there's this whole thing. Why can't we talk more as a community about some of these issues, like law enforcement? And there is this community law enforcement partnership commission that has been very controversial. Each supervisor, I guess, was able or is appoint several members, right, to the board or
yes.
commission. And we have your colleagues, Allie Miller and Steve Christie, very much saying that they would cut their ties to this particular commission. What has happened? Why are, and I'm going to, we'll pause, your answer can come, because this is something we need more than a minute to talk about. Why we can't talk about this stuff as a community? Why can't we talk about roads together as a community? Why can't we talk about law enforcement together as a community? What's happened? This polarization. We can't sit down in one room and talk without everybody going crazy. Anyway, I'll get off my horse and we'll hear from Bob's in the other room there shaking. looks like he just went to the electric chair. No, Buckmaster, that's the program. And it is something I feel strongly about because I try on this program to kind of bring people together. I think of the program as Tucson's kind of town square, as a place where I don't care about your political views, who's sitting across from me at this in this beautiful new studio. I want to hear how you want to make the community better. You as a guest, I'm right. talking about. So anyway, we'll take our break right here, and I'll talk about something I also really believe in, and you know what that is, Supervisor Elias. I love bakery goods and Mona's Danish Bakery. Big news at Mona's. They're going to be serving breakfast. They're putting in the grills and everything they need up there. Steve and the team making this investment. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. By mid-March, they'll be open for breakfast. But they're open right now for your lunch. Go by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And you can check them out, monasdanishbakery.com. There's also a link on my website, buckmastershow.com. 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor, sticks around for another segment. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Speaking of Green Things is now the home to Zocalo. Zocalo for years was over at Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of the Green Things family on the 13 acres at Green Things. So what it all means is amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more at Green Things. And then all the great, oh my goodness, the handmade furniture from Mexico, Peru. This furniture, you've got to check it out at Zocalo. They've got like a whole Zocalo village over there. They had an open house Saturday afternoon, and they're doing another one this Saturday, 1 to 6 at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. We continue with our conversation with Pima County Supervisors Chair Richard Elias, and we were talking before the break, or I was bringing up, why can't we all sit in one room? And I was referring to this Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission, where the appointees for from Supervisor Allie Miller and Steve Christie have basically been cut their ties to the commission. I assume you find that very disappointing, Supervisor.
Well, more than that, it's just bad public policy. I mean, you know, the importance of speaking openly about important issues like public safety and how they affect us all are critical. And so to say, well, I'm going to suggest to my members or tell my members not to participate is really a step in the absolute wrong direction. And it's very sad that they would even think about that, much less make public statements about that, that then end up on the front page of the newspaper. It's rather shocking to me. I don't know. I've spent my life working in tough neighborhoods, and I've been in 10,000 church basements. And one of the things I find is that when people are really angry and frustrated and see no resolution in sight, it's time to sit down and speak to each other and talk to each other and say really tough things to each other, because you can do it in a caring, thoughtful way. And I was kind of glad that we talked about my dad today, because that was his ethos. A lot of Tucsonans are like that. It's our nature. So to say that we're not going to talk about grants that law enforcement are to receive is just absurd. My best wish is that this community law enforcement committee that we have would morph itself into a real law enforcement review panel that could deal with real issues about how policing takes place in our community and provide sensible feedback to our sheriff and to the other agencies here in town. Every community practically in America has that. Tucson does not. Pima County does. Well, Tucson does. Pima
the
County
city of
does
Tucson
not.
Does,
yes, they
yeah.
do. So they absolutely
so
do.
So you're saying we do not have oversight of the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and as it from a citizen's point of view?
Absolutely not. And we There's, should. Yeah. And then I think that that's a real a misstep that we've had in place for 30, 40 years, but it's time to get it straight. And it's time to, especially now, while the country seems to be so divided, this is when it takes real courage to sit down and talk with people who think very differently from you, rather than saying, well, these people are against us. I don't want to talk. I don't want to listen. I'm going home.
Yeah, and that's the news release from Supervisors Christie and Miller. It, quote, it's time to end the unfounded attacks on the law enforcement community. And I guess they're referring to the recommendations on grants of the Pima County Sheriff's Department.
Absolutely. It's very sad.
I wanted to call your attention to something that I saw, caught my eye. Thought it was kind of a little unusual for a Pima County supervisor who represents the Foothills to post on her Facebook page. I'm talking about Supervisor Miller, quote, Catalina Foothills should incorporate and maybe get Casas Adobes in there with you. Huckleberry has screwed you all over the years. Kind of your reaction to that quote from Supervisor Miller.
Well, it strikes me as kind of vulgar about Mr. Huckleberry to begin with, which is wrong-minded in the first place. But, you know, quite honestly, we have worked very hard to provide services to people throughout Pima County. And I think we've done a pretty good job. And we continue to do a pretty good job. But it's most interesting to hear that from Supervisor Miller, who's always spoken very openly about reducing the size of government and cutting back on some of the things we're doing. So here she is asking to add an extra layer of government in that would cost people a fortune and take money away from all of us who are trying to provide services to the million people who live in the entirety of Pima County. That's just absurd, and it makes no sense, and it's just sad.
What's coming up in your meeting? You've got another meeting, I think, on Tuesday, right?
Well, we have an appointment for a Justice of the Peace in Precinct 9. Judge Felix has retired, and so we have an appointment coming up on that. There's a number of important issues that are coming up here in terms of how we look at collaborating with the feds on border issues. So that's going to be on there as well. We also have some other stuff that's preparing us for the budget season that's coming up.
Here's a message I just got on Facebook from a gentleman named Jim, and he's just disgusted, he says, Richard Elias. I guess he's disgusted that I have let you, quote, spew your hatred. This is not an interview as rational people would define it, Jim says. He mentions destroying our lives, and his hatred of the president has spread down to his peace, and I won't a vulgar area there, his decisions. But you, meaning me, wouldn't ask him anything about that. The only thing you're after is what part, oh my goodness, how can people say things like that? Ridiculous.
It's very sad.
Anyway.
And that's okay.
And this
Jim
is
should...
under the subject, my subject line, disgusting guest. This was sent to my bill@buckmastershow.com email. So there you go, Jim. I'm not afraid to read your comment.
No, and I'm not afraid to hear it either. And what I would say is that, you know, I do disagree completely with President Trump on many issues. That does not make me disloyal. That does not make me an evil person. I care very much for this country. I served my county. I have for 16 years on the Board of Supervisors and 20 years as an employee of Pima County. And so you can attack me. That's fine. I will not attack you back. In fact, I would say that, you know, I hope you have a better day, and I hope you're willing to listen to all voices and all sides of things with respect and dignity rather than vulgarity.
Okay, let's go to Ingrid, who I know will not resort to vulgarity. Hello, Ingrid, how are you?
I'm fine, but there have been times. Mr. Lees, would you please explain what you meant by saying that if a community incorporates, it takes money away from Pima County? Did you say that from the other people in Pima County?
Talking about incorporation.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. State shared revenues would dictate that some of the money that currently goes to the county for services would then go for that community and its incorporation efforts. That would not fully fund that government. That there'd be a whole nother layer of taxation there as well. But a portion of the dollars that go to that come from state shared revenues would be lost to Pima County. That's always the balance between annexation versus living in an incorporated area, is that it's a debit and credit kind of situation. You lose some state shared revenues, you gain some, but basically it would hurt all of us who live in the entirety of Pima County.
Okay, we're going to take our break right here. Thank you very much, Supervisor Elias, for coming on the program.
My pleasure. It's always great to be here with you and the listeners, and thank you all for letting me be here today.
All right, 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, legal historian David Hardy is next. He's got some very interesting things. His research has turned into a book. We all have heard of the Dred Scott decision, probably one of the most famous decisions coming out of the United States Supreme Court. Attorney Hardy has some very interesting things as he has revisited this subject. We'll talk about that with David Hardy after the break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org, and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We're here with you Monday through Friday during the noon hour. And glad you're with us today. Certainly one of the most important cases ever to go before the Supreme Court. We learned about it, I think, going back history class in school. We'd heard and talked about what was called the Dred Scott decision. Well, David Hardy, legal historian and author, has shed some new light on this subject. Mr. Hardy is with me in studio. David graduated from the University of Arizona College of Law in 1975, and he has practiced law ever since. 32 years in Tucson, 10 in Washington, D.C., as an attorney for the Interior Department. He's handled cases all the way from city court to the United States Supreme Court. And on the side, I guess you could say, when he's been pretty busy, but he still managed to publish 7 books, 3 within the last year and a half. One of them, a New York Times bestseller. He's also had 26 law review articles, 2 of which have been cited as authority by the United States Supreme Court. David, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, very good. Very good.
You've heard about, we all heard about Dred Scott and school and everything, but this is something you wanted to get into for 10 or 15 years.
Yep. It took that long.
Yeah, well, tell me, how does Dred Scott decision, where is it in the, say, the top 3 cases that have ever gone, would it be in the top 3 of the cases that have gone before the United States Supreme Court?
I would say it would be in the top 3, and in terms of having an impact on the real world, probably the top 1. It led indirectly to the election of Abraham Lincoln as president, thereby to the secession and the Civil War. It had to be overcome by 3 post-Civil War amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and there are those who say the 14th is the most important amendment of all of them. And it led to, through the Civil War, it led to America's beginning to become a rise toward a superpower. So in terms of its impact on the real world, I think it's far beyond any other case. And the one interesting thing is that from the day it was handed down to the current day, its principal citation in the Supreme Court comes when a dissenting justice writes, "What the majority is doing in this case is almost as bad as the Dred Scott decision." Mm. I mean, from 1857 to 2019, that's the only purpose it is ever cited for by the Supreme Court.
Refresh our memories of the case, please. Okay.
Well, it was a freedom suit brought in federal court by Dred, and whose real name was actually Ethelred, and Harriet Scott.
And this, what year was this?
It started as a state suit in 1842, I think, and then the federal suit was filed in 1856.
Okay. In Missouri, was that the?
Yep, St. Louis.
Okay.
Their argument was that Dred had, in fact, been freed because the person holding him in slavery had taken him for, I think, like a dozen years into free states and free territories where slavery was illegal. So the argument was, okay, he became freed.
Right.
It went to the U.S. Supreme Court.
In what year was that?
1856 and 57. It was argued in both years, mm-hmm. 2 arguments. Mm-hmm. And the the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a ruling that just shocked the nation. The first part was that free blacks, even if Dred Scott is free, they can never be citizens of the United States or of any state within there.
Even if they are a freed slave?
Yes, even if they're free.
Huh. Wow.
Just Chief Justice Taney, who early in his life was actually open to being anti-slavery, had by this point in life become solidly pro-slavery, pro-South, just, I think, to the point of fanaticism. Mm-hmm. And so he made that ruling. And then that meant that Dred Scott could not sue in federal court under that particular section of the Constitution that requires you to be a citizen of a state in order to sue under that particular subset of jurisdiction. Then he went on and struck down the Missouri Compromise. What he did was he held that Congress had no power over slavery in the territories.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, the territories were then the majority of the landmass of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
He said Congress could not outlaw slavery in a territory.
Mm-hmm.
And went on, and then what was really shocking to the country, I think, was he went on further and said a territorial legislature cannot outlaw slavery in that territory. Nobody can do it. There is no longer any such thing as a free territory.
Mm.
They're all slave territories by his reading of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So that really shocked the country. And a guy named Abraham Lincoln, who was then a little-known Illinois politician, realized that Justice Taney had just given him a roadmap to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And he followed that roadmap. A large part of Lincoln's career was built, and his rise to a national figure was built on his opposition to Dred Scott. So did it play a role in U.S. history? Oh, yes.
We're with David Hardy, legal historian. His new book is Dred Scott, The Inside Story. For 150 years, commentators and historians have asked, why did Dred Scott's attorneys sue John F. A. Sanford, a New York businessman hundreds of miles away? And why did Sanford stipulate to being Scott's owner? Well, various theories have been proposed, and the most encyclopedic Pulitzer Prize-winning book on the subject concludes, we'll never know, but should not say it was like, that there was actually hard evidence to the fact. You have found a reason, haven't you, David Hart?
Oh, yes.
And what is that reason?
Well, John Sanford was a New York City millionaire, fascinating fellow, by the way, and agreed to be sued as the supposed slaveholder of Dred Scott, which he wasn't. He may have bumped into him now and then, but he had no claim to holding him in slavery. He agreed to be sued so they could cover up the fact that it was his sister who Dred Scott should have sued, who had a claim to holding him in slavery. He didn't want, the sister wasn't willing to participate in the case because she had been widowed and remarried a prominent abolitionist congressman from Massachusetts.
Hmm.
And the suggestion is that she sort of forgot to tell him that she was a slave owner and figured she'd just forget about the Scots and they'd go their own way. They weren't going to complain. Bingo. Then one day somebody has to inform her husband, we realize you're an abolitionist, but you should know you own a family of slaves.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I owed to be a fly on the wall when that conversation occurred.
Uh-huh.
But that's why the businessman Sanford agreed to be there so that his sister, Mrs. Chafee, didn't have to be sued, and hopefully they could keep it a secret. What I found was the previous historians have said, we'll never know just why he sued him or tried to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I found newspapers of the period. Right after the Dred Scott decision came down, the slavery newspapers began denouncing Congressman Chafee as a hypocrite because they all knew it was an open secret.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially denied it and then said, well, if I am, my wife never told me about this. And finally, I got the original letters, wrote Dred Scott's attorney and said, essentially, how do I set this family free?
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney wrote back and sort of points out how we're talking about an alternate universe here where, you know, you could have slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney for Dred Scott writes him and says, you have to appear in open court in St. Louis. That'd be quite a burden for you, but why don't you just give Dred Scott's friend Taylor Blow a deed to the Scott family and he'll appear in court and free them?
Hmm.
And so they write up this deed to a family and he appears in court and frees him.
Hmm.
But that, you know, that was why it was. And the thing I found that the other historians have not is John Sanford, the businessman who agrees to pose as Dred Scott's owner, his nephew wrote an autobiography, which is in the New York Historical Society, and talks about how he was in the room when John Sanford agreed to pose as the owner, so long as neither he nor his sister had to pay any legal fees, and the attorney said that's all been taken care of.
What if this information had come out at the time? How would this have changed things?
Well, it came out after the decision. If it came out before the decision, then it would be the Supreme Court case goes away.
Yeah.
You're bringing a fiction in front of the court.
Right, right.
One other thing about the nephew's recollections of the deal. The guy who talked his uncle, John Sanford, into posing as Dred Scott's owner was an attorney named Reverdy Johnson. The conventional history of the case has it starts out as a St. Louis lawsuit. It's appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in the U.S. Supreme Court, Reverdy Johnson suddenly appears to argue on behalf of the slave owner. Well, what this shows is that Reverdy Johnson was involved before the case ever began, because he's the guy who talks the defendant into posing as the defendant. Reverdy Johnson was a very pro-slavery Maryland attorney, former attorney general of the U.S., at that point, probably the best Supreme Court advocate in the country. He didn't appear in the case by accident when it got to the Supreme Court.
This was kind of set up then, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was a pro-slavery setup job.
This was a pro-slavery setup job. More about it on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, in our next segment with legal historian David Hardy. He's written a fascinating book. It's available on Amazon and doing very well. The book is titled Dred Scott, The Inside Story. When we come back, what about the pro-slavery President James Buchanan? Was he in secret correspondence with the justices of the Supreme Court and being advised of their deliberations? In other words, the inside deal. We'll hear about that from David Hardy as we continue on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamori.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive. Boy, the place is just loaded with history over there. If you have not been over to historic Silver City, what a neat town. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're having a fascinating discussion with David Hardy, a Tucson attorney who's also a legal historian. He's got a bunch of books out. He's actually had three books just in the last 18 months. The man's been very busy. His newest book, doing very well on Amazon, is titled Dred Scott, The Inside Story. And for those just joining us, if you remember your history, the 1857 decision from the United States Supreme Court, freed slaves could never be citizens of the United States. That was the decision that had so much impact. And as David Hardy said in the first segment with us, probably the most important decision ever to come from the Supreme Court. It led to our country going at war for 4 years, American against American. And I think the death toll from the Civil War was something like, I want to say 600,000. Yep. Am I close to that,
yep,
Dave?
Right, yeah, around 600,000.
In some cases, brother against brother. I mean, it goes on and on. And how Dred Scott then impacted the election of Abraham Lincoln, we were talking during the break. The Dred Scott decision fragmented the Democratic Party, really giving Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, the road to the White House.
Yeah. What happened was Lincoln's great rival, Stephen Douglas, was the most likely Democratic candidate in the election of 1860. Well, Douglas had to respond to Dred Scott by finding a way that wouldn't alienate all of the anti-slavery people too badly. And so what he developed was called his Freeport Doctrine, because he announced it at a debate at Freeport, Illinois, which was any territory that doesn't want to have slavery, just all it has to do is not enact a slave code. No slave code, no slavery. Problem solved. Well, the problem was the number of the more extreme Southern fire eaters, pro-slavery types, would not buy off on that. That was simply unacceptable. Now Douglas has become a traitor. They've won their great victory in the U.S. Supreme Court, and the guy who was their champion is trying to take it away from them. So they got so angry that they ran they had two Democratic conventions, because the first one couldn't nominate a candidate. And so the second one, they finally got up enough to nominate Stephen Douglas. Well, then there was a third one called by the Southern Democrats that nominated someone else. Was it Crittenden? Anyway, nominated a different Democratic candidate. And then there was a fourth party that came in, the Constitutional Union Party.
Oh, so you're talking really a fragmented group of Democrats.
Oh, yes.
Or former Democrats. Yeah. And that really gave the unified Republican Party the inside track.
I mean, Lincoln became president with, I believe, under 40% of the popular vote.
Wow.
But the opposing vote was so split up that Stephen Douglas, who would have been his great rival, I think he got beaten in the Electoral College something like 138-12.
Oh, my goodness. I want to talk about the pro-slavery president, James Buchanan, and his role in all of this. You have uncovered, you know, as we were pointing out before the break, this is really was an inside deal. Your book is the inside, Dred Scott, the Inside Story. But this whole thing really stinks when you get into the whole picture about the way the Supreme Court justices handled this. The pro-slavery president, James Buchanan, your research has shown he was in secret correspondence with the justices of the Supreme Court, being advised of their every kind of backroom deliberation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What the vote was.
This was a done deal.
Yeah. One of the justices asked the president to lobby another justice, Justice Grier, to join with the majority in striking down the power of Congress over slavery in the territories. So the president is writing a justice, asking him to change his opinion at the instance of another justice. And the Chief Justice Taney knew about it because in one of the letters back from Justice Wayne, I think it was, to President Buchanan, he says something about the Chief Justice knows of what we are doing and has approved it, or words to that effect.
Let me ask you, David Hardy, the decision about the free slaves could never be citizens of the United States. What if it had gone again the other way and they had ruled that the freed slaves could be citizens of the U.S.? Would there still have been a civil war, in your opinion? And would Lincoln have been elected?
Alternate history is often pretty difficult to call, but I don't think Lincoln would have been, the big thing would have been the power over slavery in the territories. If they hadn't done that, I don't think Lincoln would have been nominated even. He had to rise from nowhere to gain ascendancy over his own party's leaders, William Seward, for example. And Dred Scott was critical to his making that rise. Now, in the election of 1860, would William Seward have won? I think he would have, because the Democratic vote, like I say, splintered. And I think that would have splintered for anybody who was on the Republican side and anti-slavery. So I think he would have gotten elected. Civil War would have come on.
Mm-hmm. What would you like the reader to take away? What's the bottom line to this?
Well, sometimes Washington gets awfully dirty. That would be one thing. But the other nice thing is, in the end, it's sort of the good guys win, because Dred Scott and his family do get freed. Mm-hmm. He dies the next year of consumption, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. The person who freed him, that is the guy in St. Louis to whom the family was transferred, his good friend Taylor Blow, winds up in Congress and is on the committee that votes out the 14th Amendment, which entirely wiped out Dred Scott. The first sentence of the 14th Amendment is all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state in which they reside. So that entirely wiped out Dred Scott's ruling that the freed slaves could not be citizens. And it was put together by the good friend of Dred Scott, who had supported him in the case. So in the end,
What was the vote, and how many justices were there on the Supreme Court at the time?
There were nine.
Okay.
And the overall vote was 7-2. The specific vote on Congress has no power over slavery, that was 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they wanted James Buchanan, the president, to lobby Justice Grier is Grier was the one Northerner who might have joined and did join that striking down of the Missouri Compromise. They wanted it to, so it wouldn't be five slave state justices against four free state justices.
Wow. So as the book, this is great. An elderly slave, a bumbling attorney, a conniving president, a bigoted chief justice, meet the men who made Abraham Lincoln president of the United States. The book, Dred Scott, The Inside Story, by Toussaint and David Hardy. Mr. Hardy's written a very compelling book here, very interesting. David, thank you very much. And again, the book is available right on Amazon?
Yes.
Of course. And I think most of your books are up there.
Most of them, yeah.
Okay. Are you working on a fourth book in the last, you have had three in 18 months. What are you doing now?
I think I'll take a break for about a month.
I think you ought to take a break. Thanks a lot, David. Sure. Good to see you. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 12. And of course, Bob Dio will be here with me. Bob is my great engineer producer. And we've got Steve Rivera, always a lot to talk about these days concerning the U of A sports and a bunch of other things. Steve Rivera with his program Eye on the Ball coming up next on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon and evening.